The following lecture was delivered at the 17th Annual National Jewish Retreat in Palm Desert, California, a project of the Rohr Jewish Learning Institute. We hope you enjoy it. We encourage you to visit jretreat.com for information on upcoming retreats. Mrs. Molly Resnick now presents her lecture, From Hollywood to Holywood.
So I was born in Bulgaria and I was raised in Israel, and I left the land of milk and honey to come to the land of gold and money and seek my fortune. And I got a job at PBS and then at NBC. I was the producer of a daily interview show called 5 Minutes With. And we interviewed all the who's who wanted some advertising. There was no Oprah, there was no Lakey Bakey, there was the Today Show and my show. And I had just come off the boat from Israel, a country that barely had television. And I was running this production. And it was a very hard job. Every night to Broadway, and to the opera, and to ballet. Oh. But I would pinch myself, exhausting. I would pinch myself because I couldn't believe this was happening to me. It was really an amazing life. But there was something missing in my mind that seemed to be that every time something new, another thing would replace it. I felt like I was playing ping pong. And I decided that I'm going to take a leave of absence and I'm going to go and look for the meaning of life, the truth, the bluebird of happiness, whatever it is. Two incidents propelled me in that direction. Incident number one, I got the first interview with John Travolta. Yeah. Saturday Night Fever. It is still the best-selling movie tracks of sound in the history of movie making. And I am going to meet John Travolta. Oh my gosh. He arrives with an entourage, press secretaries, agents, and so on. And I wrote an intro, and in the intro it said that even though John Travolta is a phenomenal dancer, not all the critics are unanimous in their appraisal of his acting abilities. His agent, Mr. Bob Lamond, comes over and said, "You plan to say this on the first interview that we're having in New York?" I said, "How do you know what I'm going to say?" He says, "Well, I read your notes." I said, "Well, you shouldn't have." He says, "I know I should not have read your notes, but I did, and I'm sorry. And unless you change the introduction to Mr. John Travolta, we are leaving." I said, "The door is open." And they started to leave. And as they are leaving, I look at John Travolta. I said to him, "Don't you have something to say on the subject?" And he goes like this. And my whole bubble was burst. Because here are these mega stars that we look up to in the big screen. And what do they think about love? And what do they think about marriage? My grandmother knows more than they do. But I didn't realize it. That was incident number one. Incident number two, 1975. The United Nations votes that Zionism and racism are equal. You remember that? I get a call from somebody that I didn't recognize. His name is Dori Sherry, one of the great producers in Hollywood, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Golda, the whole thing. And he said, "Miss Producer, I want you to know that you must have somebody who's going to refute the fact that Zionism and racism are equal." I said, "You know what? Of course. I definitely will." But who was I at the time? So I was an Israeli-American. I had dual citizenship. I was a feminist, a journalist, an ethicist, a humanist, a liberal, and a little Jewish. What's there to being Jewish? A few latkes on Hanukkah, a good Gregor on Purim, some pita with the matzah on Pesach, because who could survive 8 days without bread? And, of course, I don't fast on Yom Kippur, because that's for the religious people. I'm Israeli. Anyway, so, what do I decide to do, this brilliant Israeli girl? I'm going to call the PLO and invite them to share the podium, because I want a liberal, even-handed interview. My name at the time was Molly Sidi. I'm Sephardic. We speak Ladino at home. And so the name Sidi means Lord or Master in Arabic. So it must be my ancestors were given some titles at the Moorish kingdoms. So Mali Sidi, calling Mr. PLO, I would like to invite you to come to the studio to be interviewed on the fact that Zionism is racism. Mali Sidi, kif halak? Salamu alaikum. Allah abada 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 abada. I'm sorry, sir, I do not speak Arabic. Mali Sidi, where are you from, ya Mali Sidi? I am from Tel Aviv, Israel, I replied. After the deathly silence on the phone, he says, you are from Tel Aviv, Israel, and you want me to come and to say that Zionism is racism? Because he knew I was cuckoo, but I didn't. So this is the girl that you have in front of you. And this girl decides that she's going to take a leave of absence and she's going to go and look for the meaning of life. So I go from Panama to Peru, Machu Picchu, the land of the Incas, llamas, and I arrive in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And it's just after Mardi Gras, and the samba is still in the air, and I have to, it's a long story, I have to prove that I'm Jewish and I'm looking for a rabbi. So what kind of rabbi am I going to find? The perfect person, a guy who had his own plane, his own island, and was dating the illegitimate daughter of the Cardinal of Rio. His rabbi I could handle would be Rabbi Light, right? So I call the rabbi, don't check him out. He says, you can come to us for dinner on Friday. I said, that's nice, okay. I go, I buy flowers, and it's Friday. I knock on the door opens, and it's Rabbi Mintz. Okay, not Rabbi Mintz, but somebody who looks like him. The beard, the hat, the capota. I said, oh my God, it's the black ones. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. How are you? The woman comes. She's wearing this thing on her head. Hidlakt nerot. You lit candles? Now you gotta understand, for me this is Fiddler on the Roof. But really voodoo. I don't gesticulate and I don't mumble. I am a sophisticated Manhattanite. So, but I was raised well. In Rome, you do as the Romans do. So I said, if it doesn't burn the hands, I'll light. Pick the candles. I know my bracha because I wasn't raised in Israel. I do my little jig-a-ma-jig. And suddenly in walks this elegant-looking creature. And she's wearing the Gucci and the Pucci and the Bali and the Mali. And she's gorgeous. I said, who is this? It's our daughter. I said, but she looks normal. Said, what are you doing with them? I'm getting married to a Hasid of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Do you want to see a picture of him? I said, of course. She brings a picture. I look at it. I said, how can you tell him apart? They all look the same. I said, I'm going to help you run away. You're going to be cooking chicken soup for the rest of your life. You're going to be pregnant every year. This is the 20th century. It happened in the 20th century. Let's get out of here before it's too late. And she, intelligent, beautiful, charming, and she's answering. I said, listen, this is not a way to live. You can have a life like mine. I said, listen, I gotta see you again. Please, can we meet? She said, sure, you come to shul with me tomorrow. I said, to what? She said, synagogue, you know? I said, for me, synagogue, church, ashram, mosque, all the same thing. I'm coming. Next day, Shabbat, I take my car from the Copacabana Palace Hotel where I'm staying in Rio de Janeiro, and I drive myself off to shul. And this is what I see.
The Jewish cha-cha-cha. I was raised in Israel. And I never saw Shmona Esrei in my life. I have never seen this. Can you imagine?
And I was watching this girl and the way she's praying with such fervor and intensity, and I'm just falling in love with this girl. And we talk, and I, ta, ba, ta, ba, ta, ba. I gotta see you again. She said, sure, we'll go out tomorrow. She arrives in my hotel with a car. I said, they let you drive? They're not afraid you're going to run away? how retarded can you be? She takes me to the botanical garden in Rio. It is considered one of the seven wonders of the world. And it is the most beautiful place. Ended up being my Garden of Eden. And there I start attacking her. What do you mean chosen people? And what of the rest of the world? They're chopped liver. And suddenly, eureka. I remember. All my life, I was crazy about the American Constitution. I'm a political science graduate of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And I used to walk with a Bill of Rights in one pocket and the Constitution in the other. And I came to America during Watergate, at the time when any other country would have collapsed, but not America with its constitution. And I used to be enamored of it. And it never dawned on me that there could be something else. I speak about seven languages, and I would never dream of not reading something in the original. So if it's French, Molière, French, Cervantes, Spanish, Dante Alighieri, Italian, Hegel, German, Dostoevsky, Russian. I even learned the Sanskrit because I wanted to read the Bhagavad Gita in the original. And here I am standing in front of this man and this woman, what man, and I'm suddenly saying, oh my God, you really exist. You created the world. You chose the Jewish people as your people, and I have to find out how I fit into your program. I need to find out who I am. And it was a moment where everything that I had been looking for, I found. And I decided that I'm giving God a present. I'm giving him the five things that I like most. Shrimp, pork, lobster, champagne, and caviar. Why champagne? It was a moment of truth. I fell in love, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to light candles, because it was through the candles that my eyes were opened. So now, what do I have to do? I found what I'm looking for. I'm going back to NBC New York. Now, what am I going to tell them when I arrive in New York? That I found God? It's embarrassing. So, how was your trip, Molly? Oh, it was. The crystals, the new age, the Übergegeben, the Gestalt, any words, just not the real thing. Suddenly, out of the blue, walks in Mr. Don Dunkel, Vice President, NBC News. Molly, welcome back. How was your trip? Oh, there was my trip. It was wonderful, Mr. Dunkel. Thank you. I said, wonderful. I'll tell you what's wonderful. We got the contract to cover the Olympics, 1980 in Moscow. I said, yes, I heard. It is wonderful. I said, well, it's much more wonderful than that because you have been chosen to be the producer of the individual biographies, bios, videos of every contestant from America. And I'm standing there, and I can't open my mouth. He said, Molly, did you hear what I said? Oh, you have no experience in Olympics. We're sending you to Lake Placid, Winter Olympics. You'll be fine. You'll be an expert. Molly, what's the problem? It's a lot of money. What was the problem? 3 weeks before that, I had gone to Cannes to cover the festival, Cannes Festival. And I light my candles. And I do my jig-a-ma-jig. And the next day, Shabbat, I take my car and I drive and I have the most horrendous car accident. The car is on a cliff over the Mediterranean, a few hundred feet below. I come out with a few cracked ribs and I said, okay, God, relax. Next Shabbat, I'm with you. Okay, leave me alone. And now I'm standing in front of this man who is offering me the world on a platter and I can't open my mouth. Molly, what is the problem? I said, Mr. Dunkel, I'm sorry to tell you, but I cannot accept your job offer because I observe the Sabbath. He looks at me like I've lost my mind. Molly City, somebody as intelligent as you is going in for institutionalized religion? I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Dunkel, I made a commitment and I'm not about to renege. Hey, baby, it's your life. And that's how I left the room. I felt that either I was the biggest shmata. You have shmatas at home? In the world? Or I had just gone through my own binding of Isaac, my great test. Where did I get the strength to say no to such a job offer? It was this young girl. She fortified me. She gave me books to read. I was catching up on everything that I had missed, everything that I didn't know. And I was just enamored of everything. And I read something that left an indelible impression on my mind. And I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and then I'll translate. Sof davar hakol nishma et ha'elokim yira et mitzvotav shemor ki ze kol ha'adam. This was said by none other than the wisest, the richest, the most famous king that we ever had, the one who built our holy temple, King Solomon, who could communicate with animals and plants, to whom the potentates, the kings of the world, came with their riddles. And he sums up his life by saying, Sof davar, when all is done, hakol nishma, and you've heard everything, et ha'elokim yira, God you should fear, et mitzvotav shemor, his commandments you should keep, because that is the sum of man. Ki ze kol ha'adam. And it left an impression on me and said, if Solomon did it, I'm going to do it too. I don't know if you know what happened to the Olympics of 1980. In 1980, the USSR, the evil empire, attacked Afghanistan. In response, the United States boycotted the Olympics of 1980. Mr. Carter did not allow one single American foot to step in Moscow. We as Jews are taught to lead our lives in a dichotomous manner. On the one hand, we are nothing but ashes and dust, humility. But on the other hand, Bishvili nivra ha'olam, Hashem created the world for every one of us individually. It was made for us personally. And I want to share a secret with you. The reason they canceled the Olympics of 1980 is because of what? Who doesn't believe? Who doesn't believe? Why, politics makes more sense? Come on. I gave up Shabbat. I didn't work on Shabbat. Hashem rewarded me. Is there anything that's bigger than keeping Shabbat? And I did it. Can you imagine? All my life, I hated being Jewish. Not religious. I hated being Jewish. And I just can't tell you what it was to be suddenly admitted into our family in a way that we are. I wanted to be royal. I wanted to be Diana. I wanted to be Grace Kelly. I wanted to be Jackie Onassis. I wanted to be Kate Middleton, whatever there was. I wanted to be royal, but I didn't realize we are the royalty of the world. Hashem chose us, his Jewish people, to be the people of the book, the representatives, the ambassadors to the world of everything that is good and kind. We're it. And I never knew it. I never realized who we are. Everything that I admired in the American Constitution is straight from Mount Sinai. Taking care of the orphans, the widows, it's all Jewish values. We have civilized the Western world. Everything in Christianity that's not Jewish is pagan. Everything in Islam that's normal is Jewish. We have done this to the world, but the only people who don't know it is us. And we are the luckiest people in the world. I want you to know that I have a picture that I consider the most famous picture in the world. This is a picture of my son. My son, Raleigh Resnick, just had a bris 2 days ago for his 10th child. I'm an only child, an only grandchild, an only niece, an only nephew, an only person in the world. 10 children. Rabbi Katlarsky was the tzaddik, and he is the shaliach of the Rebbe in Northern California, in the most famous towns of which you've never heard of. Pleasanton, Livermore, and Dublin. From where? Walnut Creek. Never heard of Walnut Creek before my son became a... I want to show you a picture of my card that I used to send on the 25th of December. Underneath is the name Molly. This was a friend of mine who drew my legs and a quick tree, and I put a star on it because I was ecumenical all together now. 1, 2, 3. You can be such an idiot when you're so smart. If you don't have godliness in your life, if you don't know that there is a master to this world who has created it, who has chosen us as his people to be his representatives, nothing else fits, especially in the world we live today, where you can't quite know if you're a man or a woman, because you have to make your own decisions. So this is the joy and the luck that I had. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who my husband was his doctor. And I was very, very fortunate to have tremendous approaches of kindness from the Rebbe, who had the brilliance. Not only is he a tzaddik, which we all know, a righteous person, we don't know what it means, but we've been told and we believe, but he's the greatest merchandising genius in the world. He took 6,000 schnooks, like my son, who never went to university, never studied anything, doesn't know who John Travolta is, doesn't know who Muhammad Ali is, and they are running the world. Forget Google and Apple. Lubavitch, it's the most amazing thing in the world. We are unbelievable. What in every country you have your shaliach, and they are really the most amazing people in the world. I paid her for this question. Am I in touch with the young lady who made me? Not only am I in touch, we work together, but her son is the teacher of my grandson. In Detroit, my grandson is a student, white shirt, black hat, in Detroit, where I sent my son to study. And that's his teacher. Can you believe that? Rabbi Sharf. Sharf, he's his teacher. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shehakol niyah bidvaro. Anyway, so when I came back, I went to her wedding. Remember, she was getting married? Hanale is her name. The first religious wedding I went to. The women dancing with the women. The men dancing with the men. I thought I was going to throw up. But after a while, I got into it. And I started to dance, and I liked it. Because he, not worry, is he looking at me? Is he not looking at me? We're dancing, just the girls, and it's so exciting, you know that. Suddenly I see an older lady come to a young girl and says, "Soon by you." And she says, "Thank you." Soon by you? Wishing her that she should get married soon. And the girl says, "Thank you? I never heard this thing in my life. We're feminists. We don't need men. We have laboratories. We exist without them." She wants to get married and she admits to it. I was dying to get married. I was 33 years old, but I would never admit to me. I'm a producer of NBC News. Do I need anything more in life? Suddenly, I see another woman going to another girl. "Bekarov etzlech, soon by you." "Thank you!" I said, "Oh my gosh." Then I said, "You know what? They are smart. We are such idiots. God created the world. A person is born, goes to school, the hormones come in, you get married, and then you worry about a career." I said, "These girls have got it right. From tomorrow, I'm only going out with a person who wants to get married." I went and I said, "I want a shidduch." Hello, Dolly, you remember that movie? My first shidduch was my husband. I fell in love with him on the phone. A doctor from Harvard, physician to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Is that unbelievable? I met him on Shabbos Shuvah, the time of return. I got married on Tet Shvat, which is a day before the Rebbe became Rebbe, because we wanted to get married on Yud Shvat, and the Rebbe said, I have another engagement. Do you mind postponing it? We were married, and the Rebbetzin was watching with binoculars. And the Rebbe came to say Mazel Tov to us, because we were married in the house of Hensche Gansburg at the time, Rabbi Gansburg, Hirsch Gansburg, and it was opposite the Rebbe's house. So this was my wedding. All my life, I didn't realize that this is the greatest thing that could happen to a person, to find a marriage, to have children, to have a family, to have a Jewish family, to send their children to Jewish homes, to Jewish camps, to Jewish schools. It was really the greatest gift. So when I was going out with my husband, I told him, tell the Rebbe that I want to interview him. My husband was a very, very kind young man. And he said, sure. So when he came back after seeing the Rebbe, I said, so what did the Rebbe say? So he said, the Rebbe says that he wishes that he could say Mazel Tov to us soon. I said, Mazel Tov to you, but not to me. I wrote the Rebbe a letter. I want to see the Rebbe. I was from the time of the eyes, you know. And I got the most incredible response. And this is what the Rebbe wrote. Tzodeket bekotfa shelechol tzad magia ma'ane bifnei atzmo. She is correct in writing that every side deserves their own personal answer of the shidduch, every side. Shetidaber b'maskirut birtzona lirot panim el panim. Let her contact the secretariat about her desire to see me face to face. Lazman ha-matim, about the appropriate time. Askir al ha-tzion, I will mention it at my father-in-law's, the grave. And I, look at that. I got to see the Rebbe. So now I get dressed to go see the Rebbe. I wore a navy blue gabardine suit, silk yellow canary blouse, pearls, a bag, crocodile, with a voice-activated tape recorder inside, the ultimate yellow journalist, patent leather Ferragamo shoes, and I walk to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe looks at me and he says, do you always dress like this? And I said, what's wrong with what I'm wearing? And the Rebbe said, now you came to see me. I want to make sure you always look like this. The moment the Rebbe met me, he gave me my mission in life. I am totally involved in modesty. I always dress regally and conservatively. I always want to be a representative of God's princesses. We are all Jewish princesses. We are the royalty of the world, and we have to look it, and we have to act it, and we have to be it, and we have to be proud of it, because it's the greatest, greatest gift that we have. And it was like an amazing thing. I was ashamed to be Jewish. I was so ashamed. I wanted to be, but look who we are. And that's the greatest thing we can give to our grandchildren and to our children. Send them to Jewish camps. Bring them to retreats like this. Let them see. Remember the girls, were you at the concert last night? And the girls were jumping on stage? Jewish girls connecting to their Judaism, proud of it. Not to think, she's going to this and she's going to Disney and that. We have our own, the best. We have the greatest joy in the world. Our holidays, each holiday, celebrate it. Go, be with Jewish people. It is the most wonderful thing in the world. He asked, how did my family react? Well, my father was no longer alive, and I really believe that when he went to heaven, he said, look, I got one girl, please save her for me. His yahrzeit is the yahrzeit of a very famous man called the Orach Chaim, and it's very special. And my mother she's no longer alive also, but she was so traumatized. It was the horror story of the family. She's going with the religious people. My mother used to come to New York. I used to take her to every Broadway play and the operas and the ballets. And after 13 years, I had two children at NBC. I left NBC. But then the people in Israel started to recognize the letters to the Rebbe. And my mother would say, you give me your letters, I will give them to my daughter, and she will give them personally to the Rebbe. So my mother got her haraz regardless. It was so special. No, there are still people in my family who are waiting for me to come back to my senses. And some of them are really, really left-wingers. Really, really. So it's... The hardest thing is how to deal with the people that you love when you change. Because when you change, they either have to think that what you did is great, and then they they see a beautiful cake, they taste it, they want more. Or they have to dismiss it and say, she's gone crazy. So the response was, she went crazy. But then I had three children, thank God, and they were quite remarkable in the way they behaved, in the way they went to school, and people had to say, well, she's an exception, so... But it was the hardest thing, and the greatest thing is to have the patience to be as nice as you can, but not to compromise. Who you are and what you are is holy. And they have to fit in, but without making them feel like they're less than you, because they're not. You had the great opportunity of finding who you are and learning about it and becoming who you are, but they didn't. All right, so it's so interesting. The Rebbetzin was a real queen. And I must say that I was not very comfortable with her. I had met her, and I'm very, you know, and so I avoided her, which is like, duh. But about 3 months before she died, my brain got a click, and I called her up and I said, I'd like to come visit you. And I went with my two sons, and she treated us absolutely royally and served us and asked about the children and everything. And then she said to me something that I think is quite remarkable. She said, my husband will never be able to thank your husband for everything he has done for him. My husband, your husband, what are we, friends? She made me feel so welcome and so, and it was really special. The next day, it was part of Sukkot where the Rebbe gives out cake. And I passed by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, thank you so much for giving so much joy to the Rebbetzin. She was so pleased with your visit. So here's the king thanking you for, and the queen. So it was very special. I stayed at NBC. I was 5 years before I met my Chabad encounter, and 8 years afterwards. So I had my two kids at NBC. And after a while, I realized that I couldn't really raise a Jewish family and work. I didn't work on Fridays and Saturdays, so I had to work on Sundays. So on Sundays, my children were now coming home from school, and I wasn't there. So I said, I am going to give it up. And the Rebbe didn't want me to give it up. The Rebbe wanted whoever was in the outside world to stay there and have an influence. As a matter of fact, it's so funny, because we once had a program, and they were looking for things to do on Valentine's Day. And I said, oh my gosh, I have such a great idea. There's a thing called a mikveh. You know what's a mikveh? I said, never mind, you don't have to know what's a mikveh. But it's a pool where women go before they get married. And so marriage and this, and they did the story on a mikveh. So it's so amazing that you can do it. Another Valentine's Day, I said, you know, you can have a shadchan. You know what's a shadchan? It's a matchmaker. We had the shadchanim from Morristown, the Lubavitchs, come in. I set up 10 phones, and people were calling in for shidduchim. I have 3 marriages from that. You can use your position to do anything. It's so amazing. But you have to be focused on what it is that you want to do. It's really so amazing that I had this opportunity. I don't know. It's so special. I every time that I stand in front of an audience or I go to a Chabad Shaliach, I said, God, I am so lucky, the luckiest person in the world. And all of us here, because there are so many people who don't know what they're missing by not being in a place where we're having the best food in the world, the best entertainment, and we're constantly imbuing what is the essence of life. So I'm so lucky that I was brought to the world and that I'm here and I'm able to share my life story and every experience that I've had to be with you. Anyway, I really thank you very much for coming.
Please visit myjli.com to learn more about JLI's multiple educational offerings.